message this morning, I've entitled The Greatness and Glory of God. Have you ever thought about the greatness of God? At times, I think we need to ask ourselves, why are we here? And I don't mean here in this room, but why are we here? Why do we exist? Why are we living? What is our purpose in life? Are we just here to live out our days to the best of our abilities and with the talents that we have received? Or by the chance of our birth and the circumstances of our life? Are we just hoping for good luck and that somehow we will find happiness and avoid pain, suffering, tragedy in our lives? We are far more than just biological beings that many consider to somehow have evolved to the state that we are now as human beings. Our ultimate reason for existence is to worship our Creator, and to find our greatest joy in Him. You know, I have served as a preacher, a minister, a missionary, and even though I've been a missionary, I want us to understand missions is not the ultimate. I read a good book that really helped me to understand this. The man's name is John Piper. Now, understand, I don't agree with everything that John Piper writes. John Piper is a Calvinist, which basically says, oh, God's going to save those He wants to save, and those that He doesn't want to save, He's not going to save, and you can't change that. I don't believe that at all. He does have some good things to say, and John Piper said this. He says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is the ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate and not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. Missions will end. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and goal of missions, because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into the white, hot enjoyment of God's glory. Now, I think that's pretty spectacular. We exist to help others come to know God and to worship Him for who He is, not for what He can do for us. Not for, you know, having an easy life and no problems. No, it's to bring glory to His name and to worship Him. The greatness of God, how majestic, how big, how powerful is the God of this universe. I love Psalm 8, and I'm going to read it. It wasn't a part of the message, so it's not listed on the screen. But Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Majestic, majesty, greatness of God. To be praised is what it's all about. How majestic, how big and powerful is the God of the universe that we serve and that we worship? This is going to be hard to comprehend because our God is infinite. That is to say, there are no limits. We are finite. You know, we live in a body, in one place at one time. We can't be every place at once. God can. But God is so big and majestic and powerful. You know, light travels, now this is, these are big numbers. Light travels 5.87 trillion miles each year. So if a speck of light started out somewhere, it's going to travel 5.87 trillion miles in a year's time. Our galaxy is about 100,000 light years in diameter. That is to say, traveling at the speed of light, that light crossing our galaxy in which we live alone would take 100,000 years to get from one side of the galaxy to the other. Our God's much bigger than that. What else? Ours is one of about a million such galaxies. At least that's what the scientists think at this point. One of about a million such galaxies. With about 200 billion stars in just our galaxy alone. I can't even comprehend that number. 200 billion stars just in our galaxy. And we live in one little tiny solar system with our sun and our planets revolving around that sun. And that sun is one of 200 billion just in the Milky Way galaxy where we live. Our sun travels 135 miles a second. Now, we don't think of the sun traveling, but it does. We think of the Earth revolving around the sun. We know how that works, right? Once every 365 days, or roughly 365 and one quarter day, we end up making our trajectory around the sun, and we're back to the starting point again. But our sun is traveling also while the Earth is revolving around the sun. And our sun is moving 135 miles per second. And we're revolving around that. And it takes, this is going to be hard to believe, it takes our sun 250 million years to make one circuit through our galaxy back to its starting point. 250 million years? Are any of you going to be around to see that? I'm not. But it begins to help us understand the magnitude of the creation that God has made. And the Creator is much greater than His creation. Clearly has to be so, doesn't it? This is the God who spoke things into existence, and He spans all time and space. We should have a sense of awe, reverence, wonder, and respect for such a God as we worship. I'm glad I came and got this, Brian. I've been pushing the voice too much. The dryness. Just a moment. See if we can get it to calm down. From Isaiah chapter 40. I want to read verses 25 and 26. Ahem. God speaks to Isaiah and has him record these words. He says, to whom can you compare me? Whom do I resemble? Says the Holy One. Look up at the sky. Who created all these heavenly lights? He is the one who leads out their ranks. He calls them all by name. All the billions of the stars, and God spoke them into existence. The planets too, the moons that revolve around some of those planets. He knows their number and he calls them all by name. And all this is just a small part of who God is, because this is a part of his creation. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Did you hear what it said in that verse? That God is to be exalted above the heavens. And it says, let your glory be over all the earth. What is the glory of God anyhow? Use that term all the time. And it's used in Scripture a lot to talk about God's glory. What is that glory? The God of the universe seeks from us one thing: to glorify him, to bring praise to him, and to enjoy his presence forever. Aha. I don't know if... Is this one mine? I don't think so. I think this is somebody else's. I'll leave that one. I didn't bring that one. God is jealous for his glory. You remember the Old Testament, that he was God who did not want the Israelites to worship any other gods. He was jealous for their attention. That is to say, you will worship me and me alone, God said to the Israelites. You'll have no other God before me. He didn't want them to make any images. He didn't want them to set up any idols. He didn't want anything to interfere with that direct relationship between God himself and his people. He is jealous for his glory. This is the passage that I have cited for the... No, you can bring that one, because I don't know whose this one is, Perry. It may be from some other time. I appreciate that, Perry. The cough drop is helping a little bit, but maybe a little sip of water will help too. Thank you, brother. So we have this passage from Isaiah chapter 48, verses 9 through 11. Notice what God says about his glory. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake... Now, you catch this? He says it twice. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. God is a jealous God for our worship. And he will not give his glory to another. God's ultimate goal is to uphold and display the glory of his name. Now, that's going to sound egotistical to us, folks. It's like God saying, I am the greatest. You know, you remember Muhammad Ali, right? He was always bantering about, and I'm the greatest, and I'm the greatest. No, God is the greatest, and God is boastful about it. because there is no other like him. And he himself says, my glory I will not give to another. There are many Bible texts about God's zeal for his own glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. There we read, for he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we may be holy and unblemished in his sight in love. He did this by predestining us to adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the pleasure of his will, and in the last phrase, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's all for his praise that he saved us. Now, I don't know that we've thought about that very often. It's to God's praise that he saves us. To his glory that he saves us. Because it glorifies him. That he is a magnificent, loving God who acts like a father toward us. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7 say, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. God created us as his sons and daughters for his glory. Not for ours, but for his glory. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 and 23. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Now, I know it used the term holiness there, but it's all talking about God's holiness, his glory. He will be vindicated before the eyes of everyone for being a holy, righteous God. John chapter 7, verse 18. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, Jesus said. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. The one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there's no falsehood in him. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God's to get the glory when we let our lights shine before others. John 14 and verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be, what? Glorified in the Son. Time and time again, it's all about God getting the glory. John 17, verse 1, Father, Jesus said as he makes this prayer, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So even Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, was all about bringing glory to the Heavenly Father. Romans 15 and verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Now we might put a period there, but there's one more phrase. For the glory of God. We are to welcome one another in the church. We are to embrace one another in that welcoming kind of, you're a part of the family of God thing. Why? Because it brings glory to our Heavenly Father to see the unity of the body of Christ. It brings glory to God himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So whatever we do, we're out playing a ball game, we're to do it for the glory of God. We're going somewhere with the family, we're being a family, we're to do it for the glory of God. At work, whatever we're doing at work, we're to do it for the glory of God. Not just for our, you know, pay, not just for doing what the boss says we have to do. No, what we're doing, we are to do for the glory of God. Whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. It's all about God getting glory. Now, is that right? God should get glory? Yes, he should. Did any of us pick ourselves up and create ourselves? You know, did we make ourselves the way we are? No, God created us. God gave us life. God created the world in which we live. God gives us the air to breathe, the food to eat, the plants to grow. God gives us all of that. It's all to his glory. Even our lives themselves. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 11. And it is my prayer that you be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Just a few more. Romans 3:23. All of us know this verse. For all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. We don't measure up, folks, to God's glory. But he's willingly given Jesus to bring us back into his presence through the sacrifice of Christ himself on the cross. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Everything belongs to God. He owns it all. Folks, he owns us as well. Not just the things and the stuff that the earth is made of. He owns us as well, being our creator and our God. One last one from Revelation 21:23. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. I don't know how that's going to be. But God's glory is going to illuminate us in his presence. We will see and not be in any darkness at all because of God's resplendent glory, light, giving light to all and everyone in his presence. All is to be done to bring glory to God. Are you living to glorify God in all that you say and do? I know I need to be challenged to one day after another give myself to bring God glory. It's easy to get into the routine, isn't it? Going through life and doing all of the normal things that we need to do, the work that we need to do, caring for our families as we do. But we need to remember to stay focused on that one thing. It's to bring glory to God. How majestic is his name in all the earth. So why are you here? Are you here to worship? Is this the only place that we worship when we gather together here? No, not really. This is called corporate worship. This is where we worship together as a body of believers. But our worship is to go on day after day, hour after hour, moment by moment, throughout the week. We are to be worshiping God and bringing glory to his name in all that we say and do. Are you living to bring glory to God in all that you do, whether at home, in your career, or in your leisure time? Missions is all about helping all peoples of the world to become white-hot worshipers of the God who desires all glory now and forever. I use this one other time, this illustration. David Brainerd was a missionary to the Indians here in the United States in New Jersey back in the 1740s. And he died at the age of 29. 7 days before he died, he spoke of his longing for the glory of God in the world. Now, there wasn't anyone with him. He wrote this in his journal. These are the last words that he had the strength to write with his own hand. And I quote, Friday, October 2nd, "My soul was this day at terms sweetly set on God. I longed to be with him that I might behold his glory. Oh, that his kingdom might come in the world, that they might all love and glorify him for what he is in himself, and that the blessed Redeemer might see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen." And those were the last words that he wrote. How deeply do we desire to see the glory of God? Does it permeate our lives to where we think about it every day? It ought to, because all that we do, all that we say, is to be hinged upon bringing glory to our Heavenly Father. How deeply do we desire to see the peoples of the world know and experience the glory of God? Remember what it said in Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6? "For he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we may be holy and unblemished in his sight in love. He did this by predestining us to adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace." How about you? Have you already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you given your life to him? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins? And have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit to live in your mind and in your heart and to guide you in this life? Have you been adopted into God's family? That's what it's all about, folks. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Is God calling you to himself today? I hope and I pray that he is. If you're not in Christ, you need him as Lord and Savior. And when Jesus is your Lord and Savior, it will make a world of difference in the way you live. Our hymn of decision this morning is "Room at the Cross for You." Hymn number 331. If you need to make a decision for Christ this morning, if you need to give your life to Christ this morning, we invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing together.